Hi. On today's show, I'm going to attempt to eat a donut with my mouth.
Ron Van Dam is an experienced talk show host. Do not attempt to try this at home.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
I will now attempt to sip coffee.
Whatever.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Sit back, relax, grab a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, whatever your liquid libation may be in the morning, and join us as we take a look at the world around us. As much as it's a pleasure to be with you, the pleasure is actually all yours. And now, here's your host, Ron Van Dam.
Thank you very much. Welcome to the program. How are you today? As if I cared. I don't care about anything. I do. I care about a lot of things. It's just that I don't wish to expose that caring side of me to you. It ruins my entire persona. No, I had a persona. I guess I do have one. It's entirely crazy. Hey, kids, I was passing by a McDonald's yesterday, which isn't hard to do. They're all over the place. And I was noticing a couple of things about McDonald's. One is the Golden Arches are actually yellow, so I don't know what that's about. They're the yellow arches. Anyway, that's not important, probably. Just perhaps I overthink way too much, like the color of the stupid arches at McDonald's. Ron, you really should get a life. No, that's what I do. So I'm driving past the place, and I've noticed that they used to, I don't know how old you are. I have no idea. But when I was younger, which was a little while ago, there were actually signs outside of every single McDonald's, and they all claimed how many hamburgers they had sold. You can tell a person's age by what it said on the sign. Someone who's a real old senior citizen, the sign probably said 17 sold. That's you're old if that's what the sign said. By the time I started looking at the McDonald's signs and the blah, blah, blah signs, it started to get into the billions. And at a point, I said to myself, I remember when I was younger, I said to myself, is there going to be some point in time when they stop saying how many hamburgers they sold, because it's just kind of well known now that you sell quite a few? And eventually they did stop it. I think they took a lot of those things down, as a matter of fact, those little boards that had how many hamburgers were sold. At a point, I mean, it's very, very impressive. I haven't sold that many hamburgers. I haven't eaten that many hamburgers. It's just amazing that they've sold that many. So no more of that. But there was a sign outside a while ago that said the McRib is back. And that perplexed me for a couple of reasons. One is, what the hell is a McRib anyway? It's I don't know what it is. Everything at McDonald's has a Mick in front of it. Have you noticed that? I get Mick sick when I eat that food. And I Mick throw up at their McDonald's Big Mac, McRibs, McFries, McEverything. The McRib I don't believe ribs have bones and then meat around it, and if it's really well prepared, the meat will fall off the bones. The McRib has no bones in it. I don't really know what it is. It has some kind of tasty barbecue sauce surrounding it, granted, but what's inside, what the actual rib or meat is, I don't think it's genetically possible to have that happen. I don't know what that is. I don't think it's from a pig, which is where pork's supposed to come out of. I don't think pigs have this stuff in them. It's perhaps pressed pork from 17 years ago that they didn't sell then. That's why it's back. But it's very tasty. Have you noticed that the things that are incredibly tasty, I mean really decadently tasty, are things that we don't know what they are? The McRib, I have no idea what the hell that thing is, but it's extremely tasty. Bologna, I don't know what bologna is. I know that they mash up a cow into a blender, and then they form it into a loaf and put it in some kind of casing. I believe that's what that is. Bologna's extremely tasty. I go to the supermarket sometimes because I have a craving for bologna. I was brought up on bologna. My mother was made of bologna, and she used to give me bologna sandwiches all the time. I grew up on bologna, and sometimes I crave that part of my childhood. I want to taste bologna in my lips. And I'll go to the supermarket, to the deli counter, and I'm just about to ask for bologna, and then I say to myself, why don't you just take a gun and shoot yourself in the stomach? Because that's what happens when you eat bologna. You're just slowly killing yourself. But it's so tasty. The really tasty things are horrible. It's the same with sausage. I love sausage. Sausage is decadent. You eat it and the grease squirts into your mouth and down into your arteries. And I don't know what's in that thing. I know they're just stuffing everything they can find into intestines. What a wonderful food idea. Stuff whatever you can find into the intestines of an animal and then eat it. It's very tasty, but I know it's bad for me, so I stay away from it. Same with hot dogs. On a summer day, you go to a ball game. Not that I go to ball games because they're really boring. If I go to a ball game, it's just to get a hot dog. Or maybe I'm walking down a city street and there's a hot dog vendor, and it's decadent. It's ridiculous. It's chopped up cow and inside intestines. If it is even a cow, I don't know. It could be pigeon. I don't know what's in that thing. But I eat it, and I enjoy it. The things that I really love are probably horrible for me. The things that I really don't like lettuce and spring mix and spinach, those are very good for me. Kale, what the hell kale is? I've never seen kale grow in the wild. I think they grow it in aisle 3 at Whole Foods. By the way, I don't shop at Whole Foods because I don't have enough money. You want to be healthy? You better get some money. Healthy costs money. Anyway, the McRib is back. And then I say to myself, if it was so freaking popular and everybody was crying for the McRib, when's it going to come back? When's it going to come back? And then the sign says the McRib is back. Then I say to myself, why did you ever take it away? Why? The McRib is selling tremendously. We can't keep enough McRibs, whatever they are, in the McDonald's store. It's just selling like hotcakes. It's selling like McRibs. You know what? Tomorrow, let's take it off the menu. What are you talking about? If it's selling so well and so many people love the thing, why would you take it off the menu? I don't know. So that 5 years later, we can put a sign out front that says it's back. You know, it's a weird marketing ploy. If it was so good, why was it gone? I haven't been inside a McDonald's for a long time because I'm scared to go in. Because the people that are inside McDonald's scare me. They barely know how to put clothes on. A lot of them don't. A lot of the McDonald's that I know are simply places where smelly people can go to the bathroom because they have to pee real bad. That's about it. When I walk into a McDonald's, they don't sponsor the show, by the way, so don't worry about it. When I walk into it, and I'm not putting them down, I'm not saying bad things about them, I'm simply expressing myself. A lot of people love that restaurant, otherwise there wouldn't be 16 million of those all over the country and all over the world. So it's not me at all. The people that are in there, they just scare me, that's all. They're frightening. They're frightening. Everyone has a backstory, and it involves murder. I'm sorry, but it's absolutely true. And I also, when people walk in, I turn into like one of those airport x-ray machines. I can actually see people, I can see their arteries, and I can see them clogged. I can see right through them. They all have clogged arteries. And as they go up to the counter to order their food, I place bets as to how long they're going to live. It's fascinating. It's fascinating. You know it's true. Oh, you know it's true. Oh, you know it's true. One of the more interesting parts of McDonald's is the drinks. Drinks are interesting. You can get any drink you want for there's small, medium, large, and extra large. I think those are the sizes, if I recall. I wasn't paying much attention. I was just fascinated by the drinks themselves. I know that a large drink is like $2.35, I think it is. The extra large drink is $2.65. Now, that confuses me. The difference between large and extra large cup-wise is a huge difference. Price-wise, it's only 30 cents. What person in their right mind would walk in and say, how much is a large drink? That's $2.35. How much is an extra large drink? $2.65. I don't have enough for the extra large. I'll have to just have the large. What are you crazy? Nobody gets a large because they can't afford the extra large. There's like 30 cents on the floor usually. I mean, come on. There's 30 cents in your car on the floor and probably between your legs somewhere you got 30 cents. Everybody's got 30 cents somewhere tucked away. Check your pockets, man. Remember the days when you wanted some spare change? You used to walk up to the phone booth and play with the payphone, the change maker thing. Remember that? Do you remember that? And there would always be some change in there and you felt like a criminal, but it would always be there. Can't do that anymore. They don't have phone booths. I miss that. So anyway. Yeah, the only reason people get the large instead of the extra large, it's not the money, it's the fact that I just can't bring myself to actually order something that large. I feel foolish. I just feel foolish. It's like you have to have a horse outside, otherwise there's just no point to ordering the extra large thing. I don't know. I can't drink that much stuff. I can't. My bladder will only hold so much. I don't know what it is with my bladder. I don't understand it. Is it like a bag and when it fills up, you empty it? But I don't understand it. I can drink a lot of fluid and then go hours with like a camel and not do anything about it. And then all of a sudden I get the urge to go to the bathroom. And I go to the bathroom and I empty my bladder and it takes a long time. I'm in there for like at least a minute, which is a long time to constantly empty yourself of your bladder, the liquid. And I get it down to the last drop and I squeeze. This is disgusting. I squeeze to get that last drop out. Now, technically, in my mind, when I squeeze to get that last drop out, I am empty. I am on empty. There's no liquid in my body at all. It's all come out. There was the bladder. It's empty. I can't do any more. I'm dry. then how is it if I drink no more water that half an hour later I have to go back to the bathroom again? And when I do, there's more in the bladder. Where did that come from? Where did that water come from? Am I Jesus? Am I producing water from, is it immaculate conception water that I'm coming with? Where is this coming from? Nothing's in my body. Where'd it come from? Did someone slip some water into me when I wasn't looking? I don't understand that part of it. And I've been scared to ask a doctor about it because it sounds freaky. I'm not scared to tell you about it because we have the same problems, don't we? But I can't say that in front of my doctor. I got a question for you. Do you have a pain in your shoulder? No. When I pee and I empty my bladder out, how come I have to pee again and I haven't had any more to drink?
Well, get out of my office. Get out of my office, you freakish man.
I said, I can't do that. I don't want to be called a freakish man. I sleep in parts. I sleep in little three-hour parts because when you reach a certain age, I don't know if women go through this. I don't talk to women about this. This isn't the kind of thing that comes up in conversation with a woman at all. I don't know if they go to the bathroom as much as men do. I have no idea. I don't know. I don't think so. My body just every 3 hours just says, hey, it's been 3 hours since you've been in the bathroom. Let's go. I mean, there's some kind of clock going on inside of me or something like that. I really don't know. Am I making you uncomfortable by any chance? I think I am. I think I should stop it.
You are listening to The Ron Van Dam Show, and that gets you a podcasting high five. It's like a regular high five, but no one knows that you did it. Or cares. Or anything, really.
You know, the weather has been very, 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 very strange lately. I actually did some homework. I don't do homework for this show very often, and I probably won't again ever. But I was curious. As you may remember, in New England, on January 7th, Saturday, January 7th of this year, in the year of our Lord, 2017, there was snow. That we had 14 inches of snow where my studio is and where I, in the area that I live in, 14 inches of snow, which if I mathematically remember my days from school, that's like 2 inches more than a foot. It was fluffy snow, and it since melted days after. However, it snowed 14 inches. And then I said to myself, Ron, let's check the Farmer's Almanac and see how accurate it is. It was. Let's find out. Okay, so I did that. So I have the Farmer's Almanac in front of me. I'm sorry, this is the old Farmer's Almanac. Did you know there were two? There's like, there's the Testament, there's the Old Testament and the New Testament. There's the Farmer's Almanac and the Old Farmer's Almanac. They pretty much coincide because they're both a bunch of farmers who have nothing better to do and predict the weather. What else are you going to do? You get up at like 3 o'clock in the morning to feed the chickens and slough the pigs. I don't even know what that verb means. Milk the cows, pluck the turkeys, whatever. Strum the banjo, whatever you want to say. What else are you going to do? Pick the cotton, bale the hay. You're bored. You got to keep your mind occupied. So farmers say, I'll just predict the weather. What the hell? And see what happens. I can only be wrong half the time. Actually, you could be wrong all the time. Here's what it says. Now, of course, this was a Saturday, January 7th, 14 inches of snow in New England. Here's the old Farmer's Almanac forecast, long-range weather forecast for January for the New England area. January 7th, here it is, rainy periods turning warm. Okay, rainy periods turning warm. That's what the old Farmer's Almanac says for the week that we had 14 inches of snow here. Then I figured, okay, maybe they missed it by a few days. So I looked for the forecast for January 8th to 10th, figuring they were off by a day. Forecast for January 8th to 10th, the Old Farmer's Almanac says sunny, but very cold. Okay, fine. Now, today's date is, what the hell is today's date? What the hell is today's date, by the way? I don't know. This is January 19th. Today is January 19th. How you doing? Welcome to January 19th. What does the Farmer's Almanac say for January 19th? By the way, the weather today, actually, it rained yesterday. Weather today is going to be about 45. Tomorrow is going to be about 40. It's going to be in the 40s for the next 5-6 days at least. No signs of snow whatsoever. A little bit of rain here and there. Here's the Old Farmer's Almanac forecast for January 19th today. Are you ready? Snow, then sunny and cold. Okay, it ain't cold, and it ain't snowing, and it's not predicted. They're wrong. Old Farmer's Almanac, pack it up. You're off by a lot. Now, here's another little checkpoint that I came up with. On Thursday, January 12th, which was a week ago, it was 60 degrees outside. 60 degrees. It hit almost a record for January 12th. 60 degrees right here. What did the Old Farmer's Almanac say for Thursday, January 12th? You ready? Showers and mild. Well, yeah, I guess that's accurate. I guess that's accurate. So I guess they were right there. All right, fine. I don't know. It's all a bunch of bull crap. It's like that groundhog crap thing that's coming up in February. You know, that little vermin, that little mole comes out of the ground. A little gerbil dressed in a top hat. You know, let's dress up our rodents, shall we? And then believe what it says for the weather. That thing is never right, and it doesn't even matter anyway. This little mole, and if it sees its shadow, then, I don't know, apocalypse? I have no idea what it means. If it sees its shadow, you have a drink. It's like a drinking game. That would be fun. Then I'd believe the little gopher if that were the case. I'm so confused.
You're listening to The Big Show with Sean Van Dam. I wish I could listen to it too. But sometimes he says bad words.
What's inside your medicine cabinet? Do you know? Do you care? We're going to find out a little bit later in the program what to do with the stuff in your medicine cabinet and find out what things should be in it. Are things expired? Are there prescription drugs in there? Can I have some? No, that's stupid. I don't want them. I don't want them. But before we do that, we're going to talk about shaping your body. There are a lot of places that are claiming that you don't need liposuction and stomach stapling and tummy tucks and things. You can do this now through ultrasound. They can target with ultrasound the parts of your stomach or hips or whatever, or thighs that you want to have reduced, especially the stomach area. And this ultrasound thing kills the fat cells. You don't have to have your body open, no IVs, no. It's not invasive at all. They just put an ultrasound thing on top of you and they kill the fat cells somehow and you're not fat anymore. There's a lot of this going around. It's successful for some people, and some people not. But there's always new ways of newfound technologies that might take these pounds off of you. Of course, you can't just do that and then have like 25 hamburgers from McDonald's. You have to I made it a brand thing there. You have to really eat differently too. So I thought it'd be interesting to find out about one of these innovations and perhaps see if it's right for you as we all try to look good and be a little bit more healthy.
Hello, Ron.
How are you today?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well so far. Dr. Alex Charles joins us now. He's the Dermatology Institute of DuPage Medical Group and UltraShape Power Clinical Trial Investigator. He joins us now. And we're talking about, well, the new year obviously is here. And one of those struggles seems to be looking good in the body. And I know that there are some advances in this, and you're involved in these advances.
Yes, I am, as a matter of fact. I was one of the clinical investigators for the UltraShape Power.
Now tell me what the UltraShape Power is.
Sure. So the UltraShape Power is the latest FDA-cleared device for minimally invasive body contouring. It's an ultrasound device that uses pulse-focused ultrasound waves to selectively target fat cells that lie in what we call the subcutaneous area just beneath the skin. And this is an area where stubborn fat cells like to aggregate and join and together and create unsightly bulges and lumps that people would like to get rid of.
So this is liposuction, but no liposuction.
That's a very good way to put it. Right now, there is less demand for liposuction and more demand for these minimally and non-invasive body contouring treatments because things like UltraShape Power tend to be painless, very easy to perform on an outpatient basis. The treatment takes only 30 minutes, and the patient can get right back to what they were doing immediately. They can do it on their lunchtime and on work break.
Okay. Now, as I understand it, because there are been a lot of different methods over the past 5 years, I guess. Some of them work for some people, some of them don't. But the advances start to come up with things that are actually starting to work. Now, this is a new advancement, and I assume that if someone undergoes this treatment and this process, it's not like you're going to look like you're skinny all of a sudden. And now, you know, but percentage wise, it takes away from what you do have.
Yes, it absolutely does. You know, it's no magic bullet. There is no such thing as a magic bullet. And what I counsel my patients on is that they do need to have, you know, healthy lifestyle habits with regular exercise and eating well and healthy so that they can maintain the results that they're that they're trying to get. But in the original studies that they did with this, they UltraShape Power was able to beat out their competitors by posting a overall 32% reduction in that subcutaneous fat layer. So it's pretty impressive, and patients have been really happy with the treatments.
Now, the treatments target specific areas, right, depending on what you want done.
Yes, it's actually very customizable. So you can treat small body area parts, you can treat larger parts. Every patient is unique, and so the UltraShape Power does allow the provider, the physician, to customize the treatment so you can get at the stubborn areas that matter most to the patient.
Right, and there's no surgical stuff at all. There are no incisions. There are no not an IV, nothing like that.
No incisions, no needles, no IV. You lay down there comfortably. A transducer is placed on the abdomen with a little bit of ultrasound gel. It feels like a cell phone vibrating on the abdomen. It's a very, very comfortable procedure with no pain, no downtime, which is something that does help to differentiate it from fat freezing and fat melting, which have been around for years.
Yeah.
This is newer technology, and, you know, as things get newer and updated, we can do better things with them.
Now, where do you find these locations that do this?
So if you're interested in finding out more about the UltraShape Power, you can go to www.ultrashape.com and find out more information on the treatments themselves, as well as find a physician near you who offers this treatment.
Now, I see commercials and things and magazine ads for something called Cool Sculpting. Is this different?
Yes, UltraShape Power is different from Cool Sculpting. Cool Sculpting was one of the original body contouring devices that's out there, and you freeze fat. That's how it works. It freezes fat.
Yeah.
UltraShape Power is newer technology, and it's a lot more comfortable because it's very selective for targeting fat cells. It doesn't affect blood vessels or nerves, so it's completely painless.
Interesting. So you sit down and you consult, and I guess it's been quite successful. How long has it been out?
The UltraShape Power received its FDA indication for treating abdominal fat about 6 months ago.
Okay.
And so, so the UltraShape Power is, like I said, it's some of the newest technology really in this arena to have been released.
Now, you know what's interesting, and I wanted to bring it up. I'm a guy, so are you, and you know, it's always talk about women looking good and looking fit. And even though men don't walk around complimenting on each other's physique, men totally want to look good.
Oh, absolutely. We have several of our clients are men. And actually, we have a fair number of husbands and wives who both come in to do it. The wife might be the one who starts doing it, and then the husband is like, well, you know, I've been seeing the kind of results she's getting, and they want to follow suit. You know, with the UltraShape Power, you can see results in as little as 2 weeks, whereas with other treatments, you know, it's pretty impressive. Other treatments like fat freezing or fat melting, you might have to wait 2 or 3 months to see those results. So so it's great for men and women, both.
Yeah, and then there's the other side of the coin where, you know, it's nice to look good, but there are health concerns too. It's looking better and being shape and getting rid of that belly fat stuff is actually healthier for you. And I know that has to go with a different lifestyle and a different eating habits too. But when you start losing weight and you see that you can actually look like this, then psychologically you kind of take care of the rest of the stuff too, don't you?
That is absolutely what we've seen with our patients. You know, it's really difficult for people to have to face this diet and exercise resistant fat that doesn't seem to want to go away.
Yeah.
And, you know, we do want patients to continue to diet and exercise and get rid of that visceral fat as well.
Yeah.
By using something with like the UltraShape Power in conjunction with diet and exercise and starting to see visible reductions in your abdomen really motivates people to continue with their diet and exercise regimen.
Yeah. How many sessions does it take to complete a regimen thing?
So we recommend that you undergo a minimum of 3 treatments, 3 30-minute treatments spaced apart by about 2 weeks. So you're done after a total of 6 weeks. Mm-hmm. It's very, very easy to undergo, and patients love it.
And most people see some percentage of reduction, you're saying?
In my practice, I would say we have seen 1 or 2 people who got minimal results and, you know, over 100 other individuals who have gotten phenomenal results and that are just ecstatic.
Okay.
And it all, again, goes back down to diet and exercise. Look, this isn't a magic bullet. That's what I tell patients.
Right.
You know, if you leave our office and you're, you know, eating ice cream and going through the drive-thru at McDonald's right afterwards, then nothing's going to be successful.
Right.
But if you're prudent with your diet and with your exercise regimen, then the results can't help but follow.
Right. So this kind of helps it along. In other words, if I decide to go on a diet and actually stick to it, I mean, I could lose weight maybe like months later. I could lose a couple inches off my physique. But if you do that in conjunction with this treatment, then you're really on a faster road.
Absolutely. The results are accelerated.
Right.
Because, again, when you diet and exercise and lose that fat that lines your body organs, it doesn't necessarily get rid of some of the bulges and unsightly areas that you really want to get rid of. So the UltraShape Power really allows you to target areas that are stubborn, that are diet and exercise resistant, and that have been a real issue for so many people.
Right. But if you eat a lot, it's going to come back, obviously. That makes sense.
There's nothing that can, you know, the joke I have with my patients, I say the UltraShape Power will get rid of some of your stubborn fat cells, but their neighbors are still there. So if you feed their neighbors Oreos, then they're going to grow into the space that was vacated. So you do need to make sure that you're sensible with your diet and with your exercise. There's nothing magic out there.
It's funny you say that because my neighbors next door are actually fat. So,
tell them not to bring their Oreos over to your house.
I'm serious. I've told them so many times. Doctor, thank you so much for the information today. And again, where can we go for more of it?
www.ultrashape.com. Thank you so much for having
me. Phil, you take care. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye-bye.
Well, seriously. I mean, we all want to look good. Who doesn't want to look good? Raise your hand if you don't want to look good. Yeah, see, you all want to look good. So start doing it, man. Get it on. Get it on. You remember a few years ago there was so much snow in New England, it was like it was awful, and we were talking about weather earlier. It was fairly mild last year for the Northeast. So far, not so bad this year for the Northeast, although we're only in January. But a couple of years ago, like 3 years ago, it was just horrible, and we actually employed a weather guy, Jim Clambaker, because the weather was that bad, and that was the big topic of conversation. I was thinking back, the weather was really bad, and Clambaker's no longer with us because he lost it, man. He was actually afraid of his own weather. Do you remember, Jim?
Hey, everybody. It's Jimmy. Yeah, Jimmy Clambaker. How are you? I'm good. How are you? So, the weather. Okay, so it looks like I missed a storm. Over the weekend, there was more snow, and I missed it because of the medicine that I have to take, which is nice. And I was listening to this music, which they gave me to help me with my nerves, which is also very nice. So I kind of missed it, although I was mostly staring out the window at it, although they told me that I shouldn't, but it was so beautiful. It really is pretty. So, how are you? Look it, for the forecast. So it's winter. And this is New England, so it's going to snow. It's probably going to snow until, like, I don't know, June, July, maybe. There were a couple of days last week when it didn't snow, and I got a little upset because I was worried that the polar bears wouldn't have anything to eat, and they would starve because there was no snow. But then the nurse was giving me an injection, and she said it was okay because even the polar bears like a break from the snow now and then, so I was okay. And then she talked about maybe decreasing the dosage to eliminate some of the drooling and the uncontrollable twitching, which I really don't mind. It's okay. So, hey, here's your weather outlook. Snow! Yep. It's pretty much kind of snow. It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas everywhere you go. And that's so nice. Hey, this is Jimmy. Little Jimmy Clambaker. I'm your pal with the weather. Outside is frightful, but the fire is so delightful.
trouble. I've got to take another dose of my medication and think about my court-ordered restraining orders. Plural. I love you.
Wow. Sad. It's a good man. It's tough to see a good man go down like that. I'll be back again tomorrow with another show. Until then, I wish you peace.